Righteousness is our foundation, is the title of the series we're going to be doing. Let's start with Psalm 112. Let's read verses 1 through 8. Psalm 112, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 112, this is verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now, if you don't like these next three words, you can white them. It's your Bible, you can white them out. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Everybody's talking about the darkness there, but you're the upright. He's gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. You can't lendeth if you don't have it. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Now look at verse 7. Because this will stop the blessings of God. He shall not be afraid. There's fear. That'll contaminate your faith of evil tidings. Because his heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Keep your heart fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Then verse 8 says, his heart is established. That's the established heart. It's established in the Word. It's established in the things of God. His heart is established. And look, it repeats it. He shall not be afraid to see his desire upon his enemies. Look over to Isaiah 54. We go right now with that scripture and meditate it. Isaiah chapter 54. Look to verse 14. Called about the established heart in Psalm 112. Verse 14. In righteousness, you see, he knew no sin became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But a lot of people still aren't established in that righteousness. They're established in the sin consciousness. You hear them say, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. You can't be both. You're still an old sinner. And then you got saved by grace, and now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That make sense? Yeah. You got to get rid of the worm complex. Yeah. Isn't that right, ladies? Yeah. You don't let your husband call you a worm. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. They're going to try to come near you, but you can be far from it. How many like to be far from it? Amen. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He's bringing oppression, not God. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now watch verse 15. God gets blamed for things that he's not even responsible for. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. God will take care of it. Then verse 17. Before you go out the door every day, I'd confess verse 17. Excuse me. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue, you better say every tongue, because there are people talking about you with their tongue, that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30. So we touched on the negative first about condemnation, you know what I mean? But righteousness, consciousness, destroys condemnation. It put it far from thee. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And with those ingredients, I don't care what your SAT scores were, you can go on to college, despite your age. God's righteousness, his wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. Now, we are sure he is our righteousness because God made him, Jesus, to be that. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you're there in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Excuse me. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I like that. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine is righteous, and so is the branch. Isn't that right? You're hooked together. Now, we're not moving you along. We're not making you move to the Bible too much here. So just back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. You there? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The literal Greek means a species that never existed before. So quit dwelling on that old man. He's a dead man. Now, when he tries to rise his head up once in a while, you got to speak the word on him. The only place he can rise his head up is against your head with thoughts. And if you let him, he'll bombard you with him. You got to fight those thoughts with the word. You don't fight a thought with a thought. You knew that anyway. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new in your spirit, man. That's why the kingdom of God, we work it from the inside out. Amen? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to each and every one of us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus did not commit any sin, but on Calvary's cross, he was so distorted from the beating and from the sin and from the sickness and disease he took upon himself. He became sin for you. Why? So you can become the righteousness of God in him. That's blasphemous to say you're just an old worm. Some people think that's humble. That's not being humble. That's stupid. That's disgraceful. It says, for he who knew no sin became sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Why would you lower Calvary? Why would you elevate Adam's high treason over Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? Because that's what you're doing in essence. I mean, that's what you are doing. Now, you know, you look at some people that are born again and you say, they're righteous? Yeah. I know how you are.
Come on, Pastor. Yes,
you're not the judge. Jesus is. If he made you that way, you are righteous in your spirit. Now, you got to work it out. Look at this. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We understand that righteousness means the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without any condemnation, inferiority, or guilt. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't pray because they have condemnation, inferiority on them because they have not had identification with this scripture. Or else they don't believe it. How can that be for me? I know what I did yesterday. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. His mercies are renewed each and every morning.
Yeah. Amen.
We're going to get this, Bob. Right, Tim? Then someday you're going to come up here and preach like you do. You preach good messages, but they're not just going to be about you. I'm sorry, but that's how Timmy purges himself by coming up here and confessing his faults. But everybody needs that. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All right, put your head up, Lisa. You got to agree with me. Condemnation steals the best of who we are by reinforcing the worst of what has been said to us. I thought you want to hear it again.
Yeah.
Write it down? Yeah. All right. Condemnation steals the best of who we are by reinforcing the worst of what's been said to us. And God's answer to condemnation is righteousness or our right standing with the Father. Righteousness literally means to be in right standing. Jesus Christ is the mediator between us and our new covenant. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
By accepting him, we enter into the kingdom of life, light, and love. Colossians chapter 1. I only teased him because he could take it. God bless him. He does beat himself up. How about it, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody does. Colossians chapter 1. A lot of good preachers in this church. I like that. Some are on strike. Some are laid off. We had a big list. I don't know what happened. They took only so many arrows and said, that's it. I can't do no more. Colossians 1, verse 12. Be there. Giving thanks unto the Father. I like that. Thankfulness can determine your next opportunity. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be, made us meet, or that word's able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son of life, love, and light, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. When we accepted Jesus Christ, what actually happened to us? Let's look to Luke 17. Whew. Thank you. Let's go. Oof, because it's hot. I'm in the hot seat. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in you." That's why 1 John 4:4, you could say, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And when you got saved and you first heard about confessing your faith, you said all those things.
Yes, you did.
You said, "Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I am the body of Christ, and Satan hath no power over me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every time the rise up against me, judgment, thou shalt be condemned. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. My God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. Surely he bore my sickness and carried my disease, and by his stripes I am healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all of my diseases." That's what you used to do. That's what you used to do. And that's what we're going to start doing again.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Luke 17. And verse 20. We didn't read this yet, did we? Yeah, said the kingdom of God. Did we read this? Yes. Yes, we did. I apologize. What I'm saying is we got to work the kingdom because it's in you. We work the kingdom of God from the inside out. However, many Christians are not enjoying their heirship along with its privileges and benefits. Let's see why. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look to verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. Okay? Mm-hmm. We got to let God do these things for us. We're partners with him.
Yep.
It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Verse 25. I can say this. I've been young. And now I'm old. I'm middle-aged. "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken." Are you righteous?
Yes.
Will you be forsaken?
No.
"Nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and he forsaketh not his saints." You, I don't know how he got this other stuff. It's religious tradition. When you got born again, you became a saint. They don't vote on you. They can't break your statue. You're a saint. That's what God says. Now, do you believe God or do you believe the traditions of man?
Amen.
The traditions of man makes the word of God of none effect. You're his saints. Look at this. "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Look to verse 29. "The righteous," that's you, "shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." Church? Pardon me? Wait. What verse?
30.
What are you saying it was?
Justice.
Okay, then come on up here. Hurry. You're wasting my time. I just got my eye checked, got a good report. What's that say? What's it say?
Judgment.
Why are you being secretive about it?
Because I'm surprised. Why does mine say justice? That's the same thing.
Because you wrote over it. What's that say?
All of ours says justice.
It says judgment.
We all said justice.
These are confession correctors. This is King James, too. I don't know why I said it. It's the same thing. It's the same. I'm glad you're following along. Now, I don't know, Diane. I don't know what, Diane, so you used to be on fire, so I don't know what Bible you're using now. I'm not going to argue with you. My King James says judgment, so it's probably wrong. It's probably a Bible Teddy got for me. That's good. Look how easy they get in strife. My goodness, I hope I go in a rapture. You want to say they're going to fight you over judgment or justice? They mean the same. But you saw mine though, right? Okay, now because Timmy said check my glasses. I went to Dr. Lisa Thursday, got a good report. I was excited. I called Lydia and told her how excited I was. The vision hasn't changed in a year. That's good. They're basically the same word. It's not a big deal. You know that. Okay. But thank you anyway. All right. So what is the kingdom of God? Look over to Romans chapter 14. You'll do just about anything to break the anointing. It's not broken. The anointing's on the word. It's on justice and judgment. Romans 14, 17. This is the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat. Now, Donnie, some took that scripture to mean they have to be a vegetarian. But that's not what that means there. That means food, meat, food, okay? I know some of you act like the kingdom of God's food, but it's not. Here's what it is. Righteousness. See, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so please forgive me. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know what they're saying? You won't have righteousness, you won't have peace or joy until you're established in righteousness. Righteousness, okay? You don't grow in righteousness. This is what you got to get. There is a growth in the knowledge of what righteousness means. There is growth in acting as though we were righteous instead of that old sinner saved by grace. There is growth in faith in our righteousness. There's growth there. Some don't have any faith in their righteousness in Christ, so they don't go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. They have more faith in their weakness and their lack of ability than they do in their righteousness in Christ. You know what? That's very sad that Heavenly Father, what he put his son through for us. Isn't that right? Yeah. Until we have confidence in our right standing with the Father, in our own righteousness in Christ, we will never have faith that will bring blessing to ourselves and to others. Faith is destroyed by sin consciousness. You know, condemnation, that suffocating feeling. However, faith is built up and made invincible by righteous consciousness. I'm going to read something out of Amplified, Hebrews 10:38, if you want to move there. You tired yet? How did we go 90 minutes back there in the early 80s? Gee. And then we went 90 minutes in the evening. I'm surprised you're still living. Well, that sounds like you had an overdose. I'm teased. I want to say that sounds like you had an overdose. Hebrews 10:38. Okay, Amplified. But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant, that's parentheses, shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things and holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, there's that fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. That's the righteous. This entire situation rests upon our estimation of God's word. Do you have a right estimation of his word? Do you believe in the integrity of God? Then you believe in the integrity of his word, right? If we have a low estimation of the word, then we will have a low estimation of our righteousness in Christ. Our faith will be weak and then vacillating. You want to hear a little more? That's up to you. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. That wasn't everybody. You want to hear a little more?
Yes, sir.
Weak. You want some more word? Because for some of you, this will be all the word you get this week. You leave your Bibles here on the chair for Mel to pick them up. Then you open up and you come here. I said some. I didn't say all. So for those of you who, of course, I know you have about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 Bibles at home. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church, and I love it. I tell you what. Ephesians chapter 4. You ready for verse 17? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the Zoe, or the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But if you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have been heard of him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit or the attitude of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Failures, mistakes, past sins have kept many people in bondage. Actually, many believers. How we respond to failure and mistakes is one of the most important decisions we'll ever make. Not that we won't make mistakes, it's how we respond to them. Failure doesn't mean that nothing has been accomplished. There's always an opportunity to learn something. What is in you will always be bigger than whatever is around you. Because God's in you. Everyone experiences failure and mistakes. Would you agree? In fact, successful people always have more failure in their lives than the average people do. Only those who do not expect anything are never disappointed. Only those who never try, never fail. Anyone who is currently achieving anything in life is simultaneously risking failure. But you still go on. It is always better to fail in something than to excel in doing nothing. There's a positive correlation between spiritual maturity and how quickly a person responds to his failures and mistakes. Don't let them go. Just get back on. Help, you know. The greater the degree of spiritual maturity, the greater the ability to get back up and go on. The less the spiritual maturity, the longer the individual will continue. Now, this is a good point. If you're spiritually mature, you'll get back up on that horse. The less the spiritual maturity, the longer the individual will continue to hang on to past failures. Please write this on your forehead. Your backhand, your paper. God never sees any of you as failures. He only sees you as learners. We only failed when we do not learn from the experience. And that decision is up to you and me. Thank you. God bless you. Dan, you coming up, Pastor Jack? So whoever, all the elders, anybody needs prayer, we don't have any.